Hello and welcome to Zbrojovcast, the English language Zbrojovka.no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I'd like to draw your attention to a Wikipedia article I found on the way here.
Oh yeah?
Titled, List of Films That Most Frequently Use the Word Fuck.
Okay.
Number one is Swearnet the Movie.
Right.
Terrible, apparently. 935 fucks, which amusingly beats the number two film titled Fuck, which is a documentary about the word fuck.
Wow.
And only contains 857.
Okay.
How are you, David?
I'm going to be saying fuck a lot, I think, throughout this episode.
But, well, see, we can break the podcasting record.
Was it 930-something?
Yeah. Fuck off from Fuck Off Cast.
Yeah. Right. Classy. Yes.
Please don't fuck off. Please listen.
Yes. Thanks for that. We have a fairly straightforward show today. Two games, two previews. Hot or Not, A Potted History of Prosty Offer, which is more interesting than you'd think.
My expectations are pretty low.
Yeah, I was going to say, more interesting than absolutely nothing at all. You know, it'll fill 5 minutes of air. And we've got Peer of the Podcast and all your regulars. So, do you have anything to add before we get going?
Fuck.
We had an away game 2 weeks ago. We were in the capital, and we were at whatever Letner is called at the moment.
Yes.
The something or other, for sponsorship reasons, arena.
The Epit Arena.
Is it? Good. I'm sure it's having a wonderful time. And we beat Sparta, B.
We did beat Sparta,
B.
B. Yes. So I watched this. It was on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
I did not go to Prague for a Friday night kickoff at 5:45 in the evening.
I also did not do that. Yeah, about seven people did though.
1,087
in total.
Total attendance.
I mean, like of our of the Sprovarci, there was like seven or eight or nine people. I think so.
I mean, remember when Sparta did all that racism stuff and had to play some games behind closed doors?
Yeah,
it was that sort of feel.
Mm.
For it. I mean, tremendously amusing game, in the sense that, in an empty stadium with, you know, about 1,000 people, the commentary team was putting a hell of a lot of enthusiasm into it, as if it was a big crunch match.
Mm.
I mean, there certainly was a match of football played, and of course we were reunited, of course, with a certain Mikhail Shevchik, who played most of this game. I think possibly even the 90 minutes. So 2-1 to the away side. We were absolutely dreck for the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Took a lot of time to really get into it.
Yeah, they scored after 25 minutes, I noticed. And then
Endel posted missing completely for that one.
Oh, yeah.
It just stands there. Mm. Which is not like Endel.
Harsh.
Yeah.
But, okay. That back four actually now looks like it's going to be the back four. Hrabin Ashural, Endel, Granechny.
Yeah, it gives me a little bit of the fear that Shural and Endel are partnering, because that was a huge issue, I thought, last season.
I mean, they were up against far better opponents, but, you know, maybe they'll just learn to work with each other without being given the runaround constantly.
For this league, fine. I also didn't mind Cancel Mara in this game.
He assisted Resnicek's equaliser.
Yes.
And it was his first game for us, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, because it was, first half was, 1-0, and then, you know, very little sort of happened, really, in the first 15, 20 minutes of the second half. And you got the sense that, you know, we were slowly growing into it, but weren't really going to possibly get anything out of this game. And actually, when Resnicek does score in the 82nd minute, you're actually quite content, going, you know, it could be worse. We're going away from Prague with a point. Possibly a fortunate one as well, because I've had a look at that goal a couple of times, because Resnicek pretty much heads it into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't for the life of me imagine how the keeper couldn't save it. He seemed to go down at a very awkward sort of angle. I think they sort of misjudged everything, and, you know, somehow it goes into the net. The Sparta lad playing centre back looked distraught by this, which was quite funny.
Mm. And yeah, we actually take home all the points with what amounts to a smash and grab as on the 88th minute. Yeah. Shural pops up from a Gascheek assist to secure the points.
It's a good cross from Gascheek, actually. Mm. They do my least favourite thing in the world, which we all know is a short corner. But actually plays it back to get, reduce the angle. And it's a fair play to Shural because he doesn't really score a lot.
No,
it's a really great glancing header at the back post. Really enjoyable goal.
Nice.
And he is fucking delighted, man.
Yeah,
he's
just yeah, like, I saw the pictures.
Got a bit excited there, so I knocked the mic. Sorry. But yeah, sort of like, it's like tears down to the away section, the slides. Very much like someone, you know, when someone gets announced at a Royal Rumble and they come in and like spot 25 and they're running down with a chair or something like that. Very good indeed. Great scenes.
Yeah.
Away section looked pretty worse for wear, but I think that was maybe the drink on sale as well. But you couldn't really be happier with that because Sparta B away.
Yeah, well, any iteration of Prague away.
They've caused us trouble in the past.
Yeah.
And I mean, last time I think we were well beaten 2-0 by them in Prague. And it does do wonders for one's confidence when you know you've played pretty subpar,
yeah,
and yet you've somehow come away with
mark of champions, or, as the cliche goes.
Mark of champions. Well, these champions are going to have to get quite close to the top of the table soon. But yeah, I think that's sort of in a nutshell how that game panned out.
Yeah, it would also be the last appearance or non-appearance, in fact, of young Martin Tommel, who has decided to piss off.
Yes, young Martin Tommel, who lasted 2 months, I think it
yeah.
was, and he has already signed for Hrugim, and he went immediately into their squad.
Yeah. Talking of him, I had actually prepared this before he did one. Would you like to play?
Hey.
Would you like to play Patton or Rommel with Martin Tommel?
Yes, please.
Right. Our now departed Summer Loney from Bohemians is, as we know, a big military history fan. But he'd like to know if these statements are describing George S. Patton or Erwin Rommel.
Oh dear, World War II, my favourite of the wars.
You ready?
I'm not sure. Patton or Rommel. These are just going to get progressively worse as the season goes on. I'm all for
it. Worst stroke, amazing.
Let's go.
All right, we'll start you with an easy one. He was known as the Desert Fox.
Oh, God, that is Rommel, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Number two, he was described by Churchill as, quote, an extraordinarily bold and clever leader and, quote, a great field commander.
He might have... He was actually quite good at doing these things to Nazis as well, wasn't he, Churchill? I'll go for Rommel again.
Well done.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically, he knew an adversary that knew what he was doing when he saw one, I think.
His Africa campaign was famous, wasn't he?
Mm.
So
yeah.
Then Monty kicked his arse, I think it was.
A combination of the two, I think.
Oh,
I see. Number three, he studied fencing and designed a cavalry sabre that was issued to troops in World War I.
Sounds like Rommel again, but I think Rommel was a bit too young. Patton.
Bang on.
Okay.
Yep. Number four, he believed in reincarnation and reckoned he had lived former lives also as a soldier.
I think I've heard that before. I think this is where I drop the point, but I think it sounds like... I'm going to go Rommel.
You are dropping the point. It was it was George S. Patton. And finally, number five, his depiction by many authors and historians after the war gave rise to the, insert name here, myth, a possibly skewed interpretation of his character and style of command.
Patton.
No, the Rommel myth. Basically, because he was characterised as like the good Nazi. Because he was...
Professional soldier,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Like, you know, seen as like apolitical and just, yeah, he was just like very unsympathetic towards the Nazi leadership. He was originally part of the plot to assassinate Hitler. Not true.
Yeah.
But because he was seen as sort of, you know, sort of did everything by the book, you know, sort of British sense of fair play in a way. He was characterized as like the good Nazi, but yeah.
There is no such thing as a good Nazi.
Yeah. With that in mind, should we talk about Prostioff?
Yeah, sure. One thing that I think we forgot to say in the previous part of the podcast was also the last appearance for Musa Ali.
Yes.
Who has gone off to CSKA Budějovice on loan with an option to buy.
Mm-hmm. And he scored a goal.
He did.
Yesterday.
He scored a goal. Something has happened that they want rid of him. There's been rumours flying about that either attitude or also that he was getting into debt or something like that.
Yeah, he owes some hundreds of thousands of crowns to agents for either welching on movements or signing things he shouldn't have signed or, yeah, a combination of, I think, sort of attitude and sort of basic naivety means he's in a bit of financial trouble and they just want shut of him, basically.
This is, this is unfortunate because one of the things that we said at the start of the season was that it was good that we still had him. But now what you're saying there makes a lot of sense, considering that he had apparently almost, signed, this deal to some, was it Lokeren or somewhere in Belgium
yeah.
that was supposed to
and
go?
And somewhere in Poland was mentioned as well. And yeah, I think he just signed whatever was put in front of him. And
so, I mean, it's now, especially loan with an option to buy, strongly suggests that the club just want to cut their losses here.
Yeah.
And we might get
some money, maybe.
It won't be much.
Who knows?
I think he'll be a loss to this side.
Yeah, I do too. But anyway, we go forward. Myself and Ben and Julia and Alex and Liam all went to Prostioff, we went to Olomouc, I should say,
yes.
to watch Prostioff playing at HFK Olomouc's ground. On Saturday morning, it was a 10:30 a.m. kickoff, and I'm afraid to say the game was largely an irrelevance.
Good stadium, but
all right stadium. Not a great view, but the game was largely irrelevant due to the usual suspects and their increasing amount of racism.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Robert Bartolomeu was getting the monkey noises immediately because he was attacking the right-hand side of the pitch, which is where the away fans are at that sort of bottom end, let's say. Within 10 minutes, there had been a warning over the PA system for our fans to stop doing the monkey noises towards Bart. Nobody really listened, and they are now including a new song in their repertoire, which is, quote, "Gypsies, women and blacks should not be near a football pitch." Yeah.
So we're going to get fined for this again.
Yeah.
The club needs to actually do something. I mean, it should have done something before, but this is getting beyond a joke, frankly.
I mean, we won 1-0, but the whole experience, like, because it was also weirdly kind of muggily, stiflingly, damply hot as well. And it's a crap place to get to. It's difficult to get to, and you have to walk around that, like, petrol station industrial estate thing to get to the away end. And everything about the whole experience, the whole morning, was upsetting, depressing, and just, I couldn't wait to get away, frankly. The whole thing was just horrible.
Mm-hmm. I got up at noon, cleaned my living room.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say we won 1-0.
Goal's nice.
Hresnicek scored. Two smart saves from Berkovets kept it in it. And big Tomáš Malec for them is excellent at shithousery.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely loves it. But yeah, Prostioff generally the better side, particularly in the first half. We had about 10 minutes of decent play, but they should have been at least one goal up going into the halftime break. But yeah, like I said, just a fucking upsetting, depressing set of humans. I mean, it was all the usual suspects, a couple of the more knuckle-dragging ultras, that lad who always looks like he's two sandwiches short of a picnic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This is becoming more and more of an issue, I think, in actually the motivation to go follow Zbrojovka away.
Yeah, it was the first time I felt I don't want to be here. I don't want to be involved in any of this.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time I'd really felt, like really properly felt, I should just fuck this off, really.
And this circles back. So when, you know, people, you know, do start exposing this, or, you know, you get the news of a fine from the Czech FA. I think last time it was something in the region of 60,000.
Wow.
Could probably be the same this time round. What they'll do with that sort of stuff and that's reported is they'll obviously show a photo of the crowd. You're going to be in that crowd. And that, I think, is one of the reasons why people need to start being careful just by association. I mean, hopefully we just start identifying these people and booting them out of the club, but that's not how Czech football works, which is in itself incredibly depressing.
Yeah. Rest of the day was good, though.
I was going to say...
We had a nice day out in all
of I was going to hope you had, like... Did you have more of those Rommel questions?
After that, we all went into town, and we had a lovely lunch at Umoritze, which is just off the square. It's like a Pilsner pub.
Oh, nice.
And we had ribs and a couple of jars, and then Alex had to run for his train at, like, 2:30.
Because he went to go see 2 matches that day, I believe. He went to Žilina.
A maniac, yeah.
What a lad.
So, yeah, we had... nice lunch, a couple of jars. Then we walked around, stuck our heads in 3 churches, took some photos. Julia and Liam both had hipster juice things out of mason jars with straws.
Uh-huh.
And then, we slowly wandered back to the station, got the train. We were back in Brno by 6.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's a good
town. And you know, the sun came out after the game. It was only shit for the game. And then as soon as we were back in town, sun came out. That's a nice metaphor for that day.
That's not bad. I mean, it's a nice town, Olomouc, and, you know, it's not far at all from here, of course.
Hour and a bit.
So, yeah, well worth your visit. Glad I didn't make it now, considering that, but also I got very drunk the night before as well, because I was playing the open mic night.
Yes.
And I...
Was that good?
It was good. Yeah, I have... they've started recording them.
Oh.
So you can, if you want to, you know, rip them for promo and stuff like that, you can do so. I might actually stick one of them up on the Facebook at some point soon, because I decided for some reasons to do a Kate Bush cover, which actually went down quite well.
Okay, cool. Right, let's do something a bit happier. Let's do Hot or Not.
Yes, sure.
It's time for Hot or Not, and with a slight piece of trend buckery, I've got 2 of each, but 2 of them are really short.
You rebel. Okay, well, I have the traditional, so why don't you kick us off with one?
Right, I'm going to start with a not, and it's that bloody Spurs Postecoglou Angels song, if you haven't heard it.
I have not heard it.
It's somebody...
Is it Angels by Robbie Williams?
Yeah, but somebody has put a lot of effort... into writing basically like a whole verse and a whole chorus about how they're loving Ange Ball instead. I'm not going to put it on here because, frankly, I don't want to waste my time downloading it off YouTube or whatever. But if you fancy listening to it, find it. Mike sent it to me. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
And we both decided it's crap in both directions because it's far too much effort has gone into this.
Yeah.
But it's still not actually very good.
That's a hallmark, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's a big fat not. And I'll also give you a quick hot. And it is the lesser-spotted Václav Hladký.
Uh-huh.
Until right now, I'd totally forgotten about him. Turns out he's been incredibly good for Ipswich in the Championship.
Oh, is he in Ipswich now?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, after leaving St Mirren, he went to Salford City, had 2 seasons at Salford City. Ipswich signed him, and now he's a proper good Championship keeper.
Now he's a tractor boy.
Yeah, he's only 32. Excellent, good ex-Zbrojovák there.
Yes, that's
good for him.
Good news story.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with not because we might as well finish on a hot as well. And I'm just going to come out and straight say, David, the Spanish Football Association.
Yes.
When have they ever done anything like remotely normal? That's my question. Like, so, you know, I mean, this obviously this whole, you know, sort of sexism in football scandal.
It is the story right now. So.
And it couldn't be going worse for them. But has, you know, in fairness, distracted people from, of course, one of their other greatest hits, which was there's no racism in Spanish football. All those black players are lying, which was also a hot take, I believe. So maybe we need to get certain sections of this Broyovka support and get them to, I don't know, support like Las Palmas or somewhere instead.
Yeah, the Spanish have it lurching from one catastrophe to another, and now an old woman's locked in a church.
Yeah, that's it's just the greatest witch hunt of all time. It's very Trumpian in some ways, isn't it?
Like, yeah, bloodthirsty, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to them taking FIFA to court or whatever they said they would do, which is absolutely normal behaviour for everyone involved. You're seen groping someone on the telly or whatever, and it's like, this must go to CAS. Bunch of idiots, the lot of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, Spanish FA.
Yeah, good one.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, obvious, but, you know, bang on. I have got a not. I have no love for Chelsea, as has nobody, really.
Yeah.
However, despite breaking the British transfer record twice in a year, Chelsea have decided that the £10 maximum price for coach travel for fans to away games is not financially viable and have discontinued it.
What club?
The coach subsidy budget for the entire season was reported to be around £250,000 a year. Or, like, 2 weeks' wages for one player.
Sure.
And, obviously, this service is used by a lot of elderly people, people with reduced mobility, who just want to pay a 10 quid flat fee mm-hmm. and get a bus to an away game. That no longer happens because they've taken that price cap away. Well done, Chelsea. And another excellent PR win.
This is just, I mean, truly a club like, you know, like this, just, I don't know, it's just, there's a lot of stuff happening in football right now, right?
There is.
Where you're just like, people don't get other people to look over ideas first and go, that's not good.
Yeah.
Mad.
Mm. You got one more?
I do. This is a Twitter thread, I'm not sure if you're aware of it, David, and it's just called Previous Hibernian Managers as Drugs.
All right, that sounds more fun than mine. I'll do mine first then.
Okay, good.
And we can finish on that because that sounds incredible. My hot is Julian Browning. This was a couple of weeks ago.
I think I maybe missed this.
This was at Portsmouth versus Cheltenham. A big game, obviously. Mm-hmm. After the assistant referee was injured in the first period, fourth official, obviously Stephen Brown, steps in. And then he also picks up a knock with about 15 minutes of the second half gone. Leading to a plea over the Fratton Park PA system for any qualified official.
I've always wanted to be somewhere where there's been that plea.
Yeah, enter local league referee Julian Browning, who said, I got some kit from the officials and a spare pair of boots appeared in the changing room. And he admitted he was nervous because he was saying, if they score, how am I going to react?
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously, you know, being a Portsmouth fan and all, you're going to be accused of bias or whatever. But yeah, he ran the line for the half an hour plus 23 minutes of stoppage time while they found and suited up a new assistant referee. Absolutely fine. The game ended 0-0.
That's great, though.
Yeah.
That's really good. Do you want to hear about previous Hibernian managers as drugs?
Certainly do.
I'm just going to go through some random ones. There's a lot of them here. I'll go through some of my favourites. We'll start with a strong one, which is Alex McLeish was cocaine. A big initial lift, kept going by regular squad additions, sharp, edgy, addictive, memorable times, but leaves you with crippling debts and big problems when you give it up. So that's one of them. Alex Miller is Evo Stick / Glue. Famous and strong in the 70s and 80s, but by the 90s, no one can believe it's still a thing. A strong yet monotonous high. We'll go for... I like this one. Mixu Patalainen was old-style hash resin. Everyone knows it. Inexpensive, familiar, you know exactly what you're getting with it. Not many huge highs, but a good steady habit that won't do much harm either. And finally, Tony Mowbray was old-style medicinal opium. Highly recommend you. I'll retweet it on the Zbroyovcast page. It is a wild ride. And congratulations to the account, which I believe is a fan account about 90s Hibs, for doing that. It gave me quite a good laugh.
Excellent. Yes, a nice way to end that. Would you like a potted history of SK Prostyov?
Oh, yes, please.
Good, because there's one coming up right now. Okay, here is a quick potted history of Prostějov. They're old. They're very, very old as a club.
Yeah?
Yeah. This was surprising. There are a few surprising things, actually, about this. They were founded in 1904, meaning only five clubs in the top two leagues are older than Prostějov. Have a guess. See if you can name any of them.
Slavia.
Yes.
Sparta?
Yes.
Bohemians, of course, 1905. No, that's the year after, isn't
yes.
it? I'm maths. Across two divisions.
Yeah. There's
Viktoria Žižkov.
Yes, that's the third one. And there are two more, and they're both in the top flight.
Okay. Might have to edit this for a moment. I'm just going to... sort of going through the thing on my head. I'll take a guess at Banik Ostrava.
No.
No, I've said Bohemians. It's not Česká Budějovice. They were 1919, I believe. I'll give up for the sake of airtime.
Okay, it was Česká Budějovice.
Oh, it was. Oh, so I'm wrong then.
The other one, oddly, Mladá Boleslav.
But
they were a factory
team,
so they would have been, you know, when the factory was still making like bicycles and stuff.
Where did I get 1919 from for Česká Budějovice?
Don't know. But yeah, I was amazed. They were that old. They've been a second division fixture for years, but actually played top flight football between 1934 and 1943. When the club started, the only available surface that they had to play on was a military training area. So they put the goals up and marked out the pitch before each game and then took them down and sort of put sand on the line so they could, you know, continue doing military training on the big bit. Because there's a big like a military facility near there.
Okay.
They do. I was told this. I think Alex told me this. The name, but basically, it's the training center for like the Czech version of the SAS.
Okay,
is based near there. Yeah, and has been since, you know, forever. By 1912, the military had got sick of this because they had got sick of spectators turning up in their hundreds and just sitting around on their training area and watching the games. So they banned them from using the area, and by now the club had grown into Prostějov Sporting Club anyway. They had tennis and athletics and various other things. Mm-hmm. So they moved to a multi-sport site known as Usladovna, which was next door to the brewery.
Oh, yeah.
Next to the Sladovna, obviously. Mm-hmm. They also had a part-time ice hockey team which played on the brewery's frozen pond in winter, which is very, very...
Czech.
Yeah, Czechoslovakia in the 1920s sort of thing. Lovely stuff. After World War One, they moved to Nakolarova, where they still are now, where the ground still is today in various forms, and they played European football three times between 1935 and 1937.
That's a long time ago, surely.
Yeah. Do you know the name of the cup that existed then?
I do not. 50s is where I start.
Right, it was called the Mitropa Cup.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, for Middle Europa, obviously. Yeah. And in their three seasons in that competition, they were knocked out by Admira Vienna, Újpest and Grasshoppers, respectively.
Okay.
So that's nice for them. Post-World War II, the decline began, however, with the club knocking around the second division and the regional leagues. In 1996, they incorporated, you mentioned this previously...
They incorporated the Brno team, and I couldn't remember if it was the team formerly known as Red Star, or if I think it was the Kralovo Pola team.
Was the Kralovo Pola team, who were founded as Spartak Kralovo Pola, and were the original tenants of Srpska.
Yes.
Until they were absorbed by Prostějov. At the time, they were called Lurk Brno. Uh-huh.
And that's like capital L, small so,
okay,
U,
no,
small, sort of thing.
Small E, capital
oh,
R,
okay,
capital
yeah,
K.
That's it.
Which, as it's it was a sort of local Moravian retail
okay.
chain. And L-E-R-K was an acronym in Czech. The translation was cheap, fast, high quality.
Cheap, high quality Brno.
Yeah.
I mean, we could do with that again, some might
yes,
say.
Yes, certainly could.
It's not exactly, what is it, you know, always stimulating, a joy to entertain, you know, all these Dutch names
yeah.
that they have. But.
Yeah, Philip II and Never Despair,
yeah.
or whatever it was. Yeah, so they incorporated cheap, fast, high-quality Crowler Apollo Bono in 1996.
Please name the episode this.
And in 2012, they began their proper climb back to where they are now. So that was there was a lot more information than I thought,
that's
actually.
Genuinely fascinating about the military training grounds and
yeah,
stuff. That's
there,
really
there
good.
Go.
Well researched, David.
Thank you very much. That will be that for that section. Do you have a preview for us?
Yeah, of course I do. Let's do a preview.
Excellent.
Righto. So just before we go into our preview of Varnsdorf, I am delighted, of course, to announce that the full-time whistle has gone in our cup match, which is being played this fine
this,
Wednesday.
This now.
The
yeah.
30th of August, year of our Lord 2023, with a 4-0 win against Vsetín,
mm-hmm.
With Kozelu, Fosek, Potocny and Divišek on the score sheet
and
for
that,
the good guys.
And that is... yet another tick in the predictions made on the podcast coming not to pass thing, because when I put the squad up about 2 hours ago, I put this side against unbeaten Vsetín has banana skin written all over it. It's a 4-0 win.
Strolled it, apparently. Yep. I was talking a bit to the Konya Berninski Twitter site on the way here, because they the boys are at that game.
Yeah.
And apparently it has just been completely smooth sailing. So
lovely.
Nice to see it.
Ooh, one thing I will say about Fosek. We spoke little about the Prostyov game for obvious reasons, but Mara, good.
Yeah.
Potocny, good.
Mm-hmm.
Fosek was given 10 minutes. Very good. And he started this one and he scored. So hopefully
yeah.
maybe we'll see a bit more of it.
I would love to see more of Handsome Adam, you know that.
Of course you would.
So, yeah, and maybe we will see it at the ADAX Invest Arena or whatever we're called.
Yep.
Winless Varnsdorf on the one of the longest trips of the season. So I wonder if this is going to be a Doctor's Brojovka situation or not. Varnsdorf.
I'm glad that we're sort of making that a thing.
Doctor's Brojovka.
Yeah.
It keeps happening. So maybe we have to stop it. Reasonably dependable second tier side, Varnsdorf. A proper of their level club in my view. So small budget, smaller fan base, quite geographically isolated by Czech standards. I believe they're about an hour away from Liberec.
Yeah.
And they're sort of tucked in between Germany.
Yeah, tricky place to get to. You remember we went on the train, we had to pass through both Germany and Poland to get there.
Yeah.
We went over border. Yeah.
Crazy. I mean, that was a long journey. That was a train to Pardubice and then a train to Liberec and a train there. It was like 8 hours, I think, or something.
Yeah,
it's
a long way. Anyway.
Great when you get there, but am I desperate to go back? Doesn't matter because we're at home. So they finished in sixth place for two seasons in a row now. So, and that's real progress from them, because the year before that, they survived relegation by 3 points. And then the season before that, they survived relegation on head-to-head. So
yeah.
Really, really going up there. So I don't think that there's going to be really any panic stations at the moment for Varnsdorf. I think, you know, a lot of things are too early to call right now. They are competitive. They are bottom of the league. They haven't won, but they have scored only one less goal than we have. So
one fewer goal.
Every fucking time. Honest to God. Like, shout out my girlfriend. That also does this. So I think Varnsdorf supporters, all four of them, will point out that 2-2 draws with Sparta B, 3-3 with Vlašim show that they can find the net.
Yeah,
they
decent.
Can put teams
yeah.
to the test. With the exception of the 2-0 loss to Tabor, which was on last Saturday, they've only lost matches by a single goal.
Yeah, and you know, a 2-0 loss to Tabor is no great disgrace at all.
Sure. Tabor look all right this year. Frustratingly. One thing about Varnsdorf, though, and this is... Can I just say this is really great for someone that has to write these, is that they don't really do that much business outside of the loan market due to their size and their budget. So case in point is they had 12 loanees last season. So, you know, what you expect of them each season is to maybe rebuild from, you know, the guys that have left, and then add maybe two or three free transfers, top
mm-hmm.
up everything from the loan market. So this season they have 8 on their books
right.
in the loan market, 4 free transfers, I think it was the last episode of Zbrojovcast that we talked about Philip Fehrbacher, who was tearing up for Hrudim last season. So he's now landed in North Bohemia, as I'm calling it, for the season, or South.
Saxony.
He scored four times already, so he's 21. He's contracted Hradec Králové. He's got
he'll be at Slavia in 3 years.
He has got he's got Slavia's bench written all over him, hasn't he? But he should have a bright future ahead. So Slovan have also allowed them to keep on Christian Michal for one more season in defensive mid. His teammate Dominik Gembicki comes in from the right wing, and he's got experience at this level playing for Trinets. So there is a little bit of experience even in the loan market around some of these players.
Experiencing one-sided, difficult to get two stadiums.
Absolutely. But you know, with clubs like this size, David, there's always a wild card. There's always a what the fuck's going on here card. Yeah. And that will come to the
three caps for Liberia. Come on.
I've got a banger later on for you regard. Fair enough. But we have the transfers of Simon Omon and Solomon Osage. Simon Omon.
Right.
Simon Omon. No, I don't know what I'm doing there. Simon Omon and Solomon Osage from Club Operário Desportivo. They are from the Azores in Portugal.
Incredible.
They play fifth tier football from what took a long time to find them in terms of trying to find, you know, what they were competing
that
in.
That is just somebody from the club has gone on holiday to the Azores and gone, you, in the suitcase. That's mad. That's incredible.
Doing the signing over an all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet, something like that.
That is remarkable.
Two more super box over here, please. But yes, when I saw that, I was like, okay, so there are two Nigerian players from a fifth tier of the Azores coming over to Varnsdorf. There's something happening here, lads. There's some sort of laundering scheme. But they've actually already had game time, and Osagai's already got an assist.
Oh,
central midfielder. And I can't not do a podcast about Varnsdorf, without shouting out club captain Pavlo Rudnitsky. Evidently loves this part of the world because he's now in Varnsdorf for his 13th year.
Whoa.
So he's only played half the games this season.
He's part owner of the Kotsol Brewery.
He's 35, he's getting about 50% game time, and I think he's probably earned that break. So shout out Big Pavlo. I can't imagine you're getting paid much at a club like that. But still, I hope you go home in tears at the weekend.
Right, lovely. How charitable.
I think for this one, and I'll throw this over to you, David, is what we actually need is I don't think either of us have really seen a good Zbrojovka performance this season, because the good one was when we were away and we missed Hrudim. So I think we need something like that this time out.
Yes, it would be nice. As you say, it would be nice to have a decent home performance, because as you say, we missed the Hrudim one, and those last two away games against Prostějov and Sparta were absolute like chugs to wins that we sort of didn't deserve, but we got them anyway. So it would be nice to kind of, particularly after this result today, you know, sweeping a team aside, you know, no matter what league they're in, 4-0, it would be nice to play with a bit of swagger and maybe sort of kickstart the season this weekend. That would be nice. I'd enjoy that.
Absolutely. Friday, Saturday Night Football, of course, 5 p.m. Kickoff for that one. If you are in the area, hope to see you there.
Yeah. Let's have a beer of the podcast up next. It's a beer of the podcast. Sorry, I'm not sure what that was.
Yeah, boy, beer of the podcast.
I sort of lost faith in myself. As soon as I started doing it, I thought, this isn't working. But, you know.
You know what, it's worth trying everything once.
Yeah, first time for everything.
Except Evo Stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my my go-on beer of the podcast today, apologies to you, David, because I have brought you a stout. Yes. And this is more by necessity than design, because I'm not going to bore listeners with my my current state of my health. Bracket, it's poor. But I've not been able to walk very far. So this has come straight out of the crafty beer fridges of my local Albert.
You've got very sort of heavy Carol Beardsley vibes.
Hot Geordie nights. I would like to also just caveat that by saying, you know, my health bracket, it's poor, does not mean dying. So yeah. If you I had actually this discussion at work, by the way.
Oh,
I was like, someone who's someone's friend was in hospital for a couple of days. He's okay as well. And then, and she was like, what should I bring to the hospital? And I immediately said grapes. That's the only thing that everyone brings to a hospital.
Yeah, a selection of fruits.
It's always grapes, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd like to know what you bring to the hospital. So if my health deteriorates more.
What I bring to the hospital is excellent quizzing knowledge and
the ruckus.
Yeah. As a physical gift, I don't know. Possibly, I don't know. Yeah. Well, yeah, grapes, probably.
Grapes, yeah, that's good. Grapes, a little bottle of Lucozade. Okay. Yeah. So this is from Proud Brewery, which is really becoming a sort of an up-and-coming sort of thing here.
Yeah, they were one of the first to get their kind of sort of feet under the craft beer table on Roar Leak. They were very, very early on there.
And yeah, by all accounts, are making quite good beer. I've been drinking one of the lagers right now. So this is Broad's Irish Dry Stout. They're calling Cotel, but Cotel with a C.
Sotel.
So I don't know what that the C means. I mean, Cotel, of course, in Czech means boiler. And this is again a 5.4. So not like we're not talking Russian Imperial or anything like that. Irish Dry Stout, so you would be expecting to this to basically be like their go at like Guinness. Fortunately, it's flattened a little bit out now, and that's definitely not the beer's fault. That's my pouring fault. But it came through with quite an impressive milkshake, chocolate Nesquik sort of head on it,
which
was quite nice.
Yeah, sort of dark brown. Yeah, as you say, slightly milkshakey looking head. And it is very, very dark. It's one of those ones where you think, if you lift it up, could you see a bit of colour in it? Nope. It is absolutely black as they come.
Pitch black. Yeah. It is like a Beamish or something
like
that. Drinking
tarmac, possibly.
Yep, that's it. So, again, we're not going to be drinking this maybe in the optimal condition because I left it a little bit too long in the fridge, but it should still be an interesting
beer.
Either
way, here we go.
Cheers. I think that is great. I really like that. Fully aware this is my sort of beer, not your sort of beer. Dark chocolate I'm getting.
I had two thoughts. Initially, I thought, well, that's fizzier than I thought it was going to be on the front. There's not a lot of flow. But when it goes down, there's a sharpness. There's a little kind of sharp little tickle on the back of your throat. Yeah, and there's that really sort of chocolatey sort of tang to
dark
it.
Yeah, like a tort sort of filling.
Like a chocolatey sting to it.
Chocolatey sting? Sting from the massive house!
Yeah. A chocolatey sting and all those other shits. Yeah. That's pretty good, I would say.
Big of you.
Yes,
yeah, out.
It really is, yeah.
And actually, I can't... I might be wrong on the price of this, but if I recall... Because I got it this afternoon, because I had to pick something up. From the Zesil Kovna. But I believe a can of this is running you 66 crowns.
That's good.
Which, for a beer of that,
really good. Yeah.
So I'm going to be buying a few of these for going forward, because I think they're really nice.
Yeah. Particularly as you know, the nights draw in as we approach autumn. It's a good autumnal, wintry pint, I think.
Yeah. Really good. I've said this before, it's quite difficult to get a good stout in this country. And that is
a good stout.
What I would call a good stout. None of this turbo Russian or London Porter sort of thing that's always like 11% for no reason.
And that's why I quite like this. I could see myself having one. I could see myself ordering one of those on purpose.
Yeah.
Which is a rare thing for me in a stout.
For you, yes. That is so... really good. Not trying to be too clever either.
Exactly. It's just it does what it does and it does it bloody well.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. So knocking it out of the park again. Thanks, Proud.
Yep. And we are proud to say we've got one more preview, and it is of Yhwava. Wysoczyna Jihlava on a Friday evening at the beginning of September is a very tempting away day. Also, because you can spread yourself around what is a very open away section and not be near anyone that you don't want to be near.
That's actually very true.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed, David. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Friday night and the lights are low, looking out for 3-0 Brno. It's Wysoczyna Jihlava. And every single time we have done Jihlava away, I have had a terrific time, and not just because of their mascot.
Yeah. Again, we've said it before, we'll say it again, it's a good town, Jihlava.
It's a good town, there are great pubs, the stadium is very close to the centre, very close to the bus to get out of Jihlava.
Yeah. It's a lovely oddity. Yeah. Everything about it is a lovely oddity. Yeah.
There is a bus every hour. If you cannot, for some reason, get the bus, there is a train.
Yeah.
This will run until 1 o'clock in the morning. It's just good. And we also, had the pleasure of seeing, one of Zbrojovka's most thumping performances as well there.
Yes.
Which was, I believe, 6-1?
It was
Or was it even 7-1? I can't remember.
I think it was 6, but it was glorious either way.
That was it. That was also one of the weirdest things I've seen at a game where, do you remember the ball coming over to the away section? Some guy just pulling out a knife and bursting it.
Yeah. Was that?
That was also the topless.
Yes, that was, yeah. Kroma Tričko Fandi Spartia.
Yeah, and unfortunately for you, me and Pavel, there is still photographic evidence of this up on our own account. So, so we will be making the short trip to Wysoczyna. I will certainly be trying to get a half day going to take advantage of this, especially because, in 2 weeks we should still have decent enough weather.
You'd hope so. However, we have been caught out up in the mountains before where it's been a nice day, but as soon as the sun starts going down, fuck me, it gets cold quickly.
I mean, that was it. A cold one actually at Jihlava last time we were there because it was in February, I think it was. And it was inexplicably on at 3 o'clock on a Friday, so we had to take the whole day off work.
Yeah,
and
went up in sort of watery sunshine, and we were like, "Hey, this isn't too bad." You get up there, Jesus Christ!
Yeah, we met an iguana that day.
We did
as
meet,
well, called Agata.
Yeah, and we also had beer delivered to us by the beer delivering woman because the bar wasn't open.
Yeah, you're just too good to be true. Can't wait to get pints of
you. Yeah.
You seem like heaven to touch. I want to drink pints so much. That was a, and it was a 1-0 Brno. I think it was 1-0 Brno or 2-0 Brno. I can't remember, but
we won
it
anyway.
Was bloody cold.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get a similar result. And they've, fairly flown out of the traps this
they
time
have.
Out, Jihlava.
Freewheeling Jihlava.
This is it, yes. They've settled a little bit now. They've had a loss to Dukla. A lot of teams are losing to Dukla. And a draw with Hrudim. And fool us, we had pretty much said that they're going to be in for a real tough season, Hrudim, but they have...
Well, we forgot about Fila.
This is it, yeah, and also now Tommel. So they had a thumping win against Prostějov. I think they put 6 past Prostějov after looking really poor against us. So, so Jihlava, though, currently 4th in the table. They're 3 points off the league leaders, which are, of course, Vyškov. Early days... And I'm not one to make bold predictions, David, or bold statements, but is this an indication of a renaissance of football in Wysoczyna?
With Jihlava and...
Jihlava.
that is literally it, isn't it? Yeah. I thought I was forgetting somebody, but that is literally the only team in Wysoczyna.
No, pretty much. Zdas.
Well, But, I mean, the only sort of, decent team in Wysoczyna.
Yeah. I mean, saying that, they survived relegation by 2 points.
Survived it though.
Yes, they look likely to be relegated for large parts of last season. They also have a tendency, and this could easily happen here again, where they'll just go and completely tail off for long stretches of seasons. listeners will remember the collapse a few years ago after the pause due to COVID, where they had a pretty big lead on Zbrojovka in one of the last playoff places. And then they decided to go winless in seven and get 2 points from a possible 21, which arguably could have possibly even cost them a title. I wouldn't go that far myself. During that same run, Zbrojovka took 17 points and were undefeated.
Mm.
So it really allowed us to rally and get, you know, and get promoted, actually. That was part of a remarkable run, which I don't think we're going to see again, at least maybe with this team, where Zbrojovka played 17 games, won 14, and drew 3.
Yeah. That was good. I did enjoy that.
It was good. I mean, I would have enjoyed it more if I could actually have gone to the stadium to enjoy it, but still, that was good. And that got me reminiscing a little bit, David. So, you know, these are the days as well for Jihlava where you had Stanislav Klobasa scoring 17 goals. He was very unlucky with injury. I was actually reading a article today from last year, which was, you know, whatever happened to Stander Klobasa, because he retired at 27.
He did. Didn't he go into law in Austria?
So what he does now is, yeah, so he played a little bit in the amateur league in Austria, mm-hmm. and he still plays a little bit of amateur football now, because obviously, you know, when you're that age as well, you still love the game. Yeah. So he works, I believe, in some sort of financial role now.
Right, yeah, I knew he'd gone into some sort of office job. I thought it was law, but mm-hmm. yeah, he's in Austria though, isn't he? Yeah.
Prague, I believe. I think he moved back.
Oh, okay. So, all right, fair enough.
But I mean, maybe I didn't read that article very well enough. It was during my lunch break. And do you want... I found this was fun. This was fun. That season, when he scored 17 goals, that had... I can't say Jihlava. There we go. Jihlava's leader in assists was a Mr. Tomáš Smejkal.
Oh, there he is, look. Mm-hmm. We have quite a few crossovers because Lukáš Zobelé...
Yeah,
of course, would always come back and score against us. Yep. And Laura the X with
And he was the top scorer. Yeah, he was the top scorer for Jihlava the season before, uh-huh. I believe, as well. So there you go. Because after that collapse, there was this whole fire sale and overhaul of the squad, and you know, they didn't really recover properly, and they look bang average. So maybe until now. 19-year-old attacking midfielder Lukáš Fila mm-hmm. is leading them with goals. That's 6 and 7 for him, including a hat-trick against Tabor.
Yep.
As discussed, Tabor, difficult team to play this season. And we have Justin Araujo-Wilson. He's Canadian-born. He has 3 under-17 caps for Trinidad and Tobago. He's off the mark as our centre-forward with 3 goals.
Beautiful.
3 under-17 caps for Trinidad and Tobago.
You love to see
He's not exactly a Jason Scotland just yet, but there you go. This was a real curiosity. So in the Cup, I don't think they're going to be playing him more than this. I'm not sure, though. I also didn't really check. They played number 66, Ondře Mastný, in goal.
Mm-hmm.
He came on a free from Manchester United.
I knew I recognised that name.
Under 21.
Yes, I knew I recognised that name.
Yeah, so he played a handful of games with them, and he had a loan spell at Northern Irish side, Portadown.
Who?
Portadown. Portadown.
Right.
But they said, Portadown. I can't really
Portadown.
He's a lot better.
Portadown.
A lot better than me. If you would like to complain about those accents, it's
broadcast@gmail.com.
So I don't really know what happened there. Other transfers included Emir Tombol, centre-back from Juventus. Zurich, they're in the fourth league of Swiss football. they haven't really done much transfer activity otherwise. Wojciech Krzyżanowski,
mm-hmm.
Billy Crystal, he was quite a good right-back for them, I thought. I didn't mind him. He's gone to Sigma Olomouc, so he's got his move up the top. I've now put down, in my notes, that a decent attacking side, swashbuckling in places.
Right.
They put 6 past Sigma B, they came 2 down, 2 draw 3 each with Rudium. They can actually get in and about, and that's a little bit different than I usually recall a Jihlava side, who tend to be quite formulaic, one might say, in just their starting shape and things like that. But they look like they're playing with a little bit of shackles off, and why wouldn't you, really, for a league like this? It's, at the end of the day, it's all just a bit of fun, isn't it, guys? So, hoping that we're going to get a result there. as well. But whatever happens, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have a good time because I love going to East London.
Yeah. So yeah, hopefully that swash will be unbuckled and we will or buckled. Swash. Yeah. Hopefully the swash will be buckled, which means they will be playing well. Mm-hmm. So if they unbuckle their swash, they're not playing well. Hopefully the swash is unbuckled and we can go there and win. But it will be good to see a decent game of football as well, because it's been a long time since I feel like I've seen one.
Yeah, I just hope my knee is fixed in time, because otherwise it's going to be quite comfortable to stand for 90 minutes. Mm. And those bucket seats, boy, they're not very good.
Yeah, in fact, you'll have knee plava.
That's almost as bad as the Burnrow guy going prostate off.
Yeah.
as that's the biggest insult in the world. Nihlava. Nihlava, like someone from the Newcastle going to, not going to Visicina.
Yeah. Took me a while. Anyway.
Oh dear
me. Oh, well, actually, what was quite a fun episode has ended on that unfortunate note.
Did you ever hear that? I think Phil Jupiter's told this that joke. You know the joke about the Geordie General Custer's last stand?
No.
And then he's so it's this Geordie and General Custer, and you know they've got the last stand, you know, and then they're the troops are marching over there, and Custer's like, you know, like sent to the distance, and it says Geordie, they're playing war drums, and Geordie goes, "The robbing bastards." Playing war drums. That's a good one.
Thanks for listening. We'll speak to you next time.
Bye. Trápím se, trápím, je to snad tím, že jsem tu sám, piju whisky a gin. Ženy po mně blázní, ale já raději spím, pěstuju kočky a svůj starý splín. Jednu dívku mám zoufale rád, s tou chtěl bych žít a s tou chtěl bych se smát. S tou měl bych klid a ve své duši mír, jen bych musel oholit ten svůj knír. Se mi však velikou zdá, vždyť věrnost té dívky je až ve hvězdách. Co když pak zůstanu na světě sám, ten knír to je jediný, co ještě mám. Že jsem tu sám a piju whisky a gin. Ženy po mně blázní, ale já raději spím, pěstuju kočky a svůj starý splín.